like I'm on the carousel.
I know. Well, it is fair time.
That is absolutely true. It opens for tomorrow night?
Today until the 23rd.
I'm trying to remember the last time I was at the fair.
Really? I go every year. However, everyone on the planet goes every year, too. I've noticed each year, it's like, I have to go during a weekday because it's a lot.
Weekday during the afternoon.
Yes.
Well, you're not still riding rides, are you?
No. I think you hesitated there. Yeah, the last
you
time.
You hesitated there.
I used to like to ride like a ride or two, but then the older I get, the more I think about, okay, they're taking these things apart and putting them together real fast and a lot.
Just with a wrench.
So,
yeah.
So, no.
Probably an Allen wrench. One Allen wrench
right.
Putting the whole thing up.
I'm totally fine just eating my funnel cake and cheese curds and walking around. Maybe I'll waste some money at a game. But no, I'm not getting on a ride.
Go check out the livestock.
Yeah. Well, or I could just go home because I have those.
Oh, right, here you go.
Yeah.
I'm not above checking out the sheep.
No,
well,
yeah.
Don't mind that. It's a prized sheep.
Look how lovely that sheep is.
what a sweater.
Yeah.
What a sweater that would make. So, I'm actually chaperoning an eighth grade. We can't call it a field trip. It's a voyage.
Oh, okay.
We're chaperoning an eighth grade voyage.
Fancy.
To the fair. Yeah.
When did that switch happen? It's always been field trip for me.
Yeah, well, not where we... Well, you know, it's... The school is Magellan, so they're mariners or explorers, and yes, it's a voyage.
Oh, I see. It's a whole theme.
It's a voyage.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're going, and I'm a chaperone, and
nice.
I will be curled up in a ball by about this time on Tuesday, maybe earlier on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll go there when there's not thousands and thousands of people.
Uh-huh.
It is Tuesday.
Yes, so. That's helpful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is good. All right, let's do Wall of Sound, shall we?
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, let's start. Let's start with the goal that gave the Carolina Hurricanes the lead. And the really cool part about this goal is that I was watching this and I was already writing down 2-1 Colorado because Justin Danforth had the lead on the blade of his stick with about 1:45 left in the second.
Morinsky with it. His low drive rebounds out in front. Got it elevated. Anderson might have got a piece of that one. Now Natchez for Carolina turning the puck the other way. Kokiniemi and Natchez. Natchez on the backhand. He'll pull up. Sets it on top. They'll score! With 90 seconds left in the period, the Canes take a 2-1 lead. Brady Shea.
That was cool. Before the game, and I was unsure of what they were doing before the game other than simply introducing the coaches and players. But before the game, when they introduced Rod Brind'Amour, and I love when I see people who deserve all of their props. To go way back in time. All of the flowers. I love when they hear it and it matters.
Same, and they're alive.
Right. Rod Brind'Amour got himself a standing ovation last night when they introduced him. And the camera was on him and he just shook his head and was like, man, we don't need this. I don't need this now. I don't. Because he doesn't want it. But he appreciated it last night and he talked about it after the game.
Right. I mean, it's the end of the day, you want to get the win. That's the first thing. And then you want to see us, are we starting to play the way we want to? I mean, that was encouraging toward the end. Good news, you know, for me is we got the win, but we got a ton to work on. Like, you could just see a lot of the new guys, too, just, you know, where they need to be, not quite there. And that's, you know, that'll catch up here.
All right, let's go to the next one where he was emotional about the tribute.
Well, it was actually, I wasn't expecting that, and you know, it means a lot to me. I mean, what can I say? This is the game. It's the both the players, and you know, coach just back there just doing his little thing. But when you get that kind of ovation, it was special. And thank you for bringing that up, because it's just bringing back a little emotion there. Because, you know, we got a great thing here, and I appreciate the people.
He's the best, man.
His little thing.
Just back here, you know, trying to stay out of the way. Rod's guest got such a healthy attitude about everything, really is. It's very cool. If I wasn't so busy driving the Derek Stepan bandwagon. All right, moving on to the ESPN story about Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington Commandos. And if you're not aware, ESPN did a story about essentially Dan Snyder has compiled. He claims to. We don't have proof of this. We have anecdotal evidence at best. But Daniel Snyder, it is said, has compiled essentially dirt on other owners, on the commissioner, Roger Goodell, to the point where if they try to get Snyder ousted as owner of the Commandos, that he is simply going to take others down with him. So I don't know who those others are. I'm sure with 31 other owners, I'm sure that there are, 34 of them of the 31 probably have enough in their closet that if it got exposed, wouldn't be all that thrilled with Daniel Snyder. And to an extent, that is blackmail. But whether it is or not, they don't want the news out. And that might include Roger Goodell. Either way, Seth Wickersham was part of the reporting trio on this. And he was asked on SportsCenter whether or not the league will try to remove Snyder as owner.
This is out there now. This has been reported, and as you say, other owners and other executives have been aware of the existence of at least him saying these things before. Mm-hmm. So what should we expect to happen now, Seth?
Well, there's league meetings in New York, in downtown New York, next Tuesday, and we'll see. One of the most interesting things is that it takes 3/4 of owners to vote out an owner. The owners don't think that, especially the owners who are mad at Dan, even over this, I don't know if they think they can get to 24. But they've considered creative ways, maybe, of trying to force the team into the hands permanently of his wife, Tanya. And one of them is kind of an interesting technical thing, but they would jam him on a debt limit waiver. When owners build stadiums, they typically take out a lot of debt. The league has strict rules over how much debt they can carry. Now, most people think that Dan Snyder cannot write a check for a new stadium in the D.C. area and would need those debt limit waivers, including the loans that the league often offers. And owners have talked about not permitting him those waivers as a backdoor way to try to transfer permanent ownership to Tanya. Remember, and owners and executives are really clear about this, when Donald Sterling had to let go of the Clippers years ago, it wasn't because fellow owners voted him out. It was because his wife removed him from the family trust. And so I think that they're looking at Tanya Snyder as maybe someone that they could transfer ownership permanently to, who they respect and enjoy working with.
All right. A couple of things about that. I find it hard to believe that you couldn't convince 24 owners unless Daniel Snyder has dirt, which I've been saying there's a reason. There's a reason the NFL didn't make a written report on what happened with sexual misconduct within the Washington organization. There's a reason. There's no paper trail there. Hell, we had a 50-page report on inflated footballs?
Right.
Right? We had that. But no, we're not producing a written report.
No, of course not.
Write up of all the stuff that was going on that was legitimate criminal behavior.
That's a totally different thing.
Yeah. So, miss me with that. Which is why it's pretty clear that there are enough people that don't want to pursue this. All right, Sam, Snyder was fined and then he had to turn over the day-to-day operations of running the team to his wife, as though she comes in after a long, hard day at FedEx Field, and Dan has prepared dinner. Little salmon croquettes.
Right. Candles are lit.
Candles, right. The Brussels sprouts. Maybe a tossed green salad.
Chocolate cake for dessert.
Oh, maybe. And he goes, honey, how was your day? Sorry, I can't talk about it, Dan. It's football matter. Like, are you serious?
Stop.
So, the league would be better off without Daniel Snyder. And they all know it. They all know it because I know it doesn't seem like it now, but if you are a fan of that football franchise and you are my age, I mean, I realize I'm old, but if you are a fan of that franchise and you are in your mid-50s, you remember a time where Washington was among the benchmarks of the NFL. What's interesting is that tonight's game between the Bears and the Commandos, you're talking about if we rolled the clock back 35 years, those were two of the best four teams in the league. Washington was awesome. They were in the middle of a run where they won three Super Bowls in, I believe, ten seasons, 82, 87, 91. So in 10 seasons, they won three Super Bowls. But from, you know, the 82 championship, that was the first strike year. So they were only 8-1 that season. By the way, in both strike seasons in the NFL, 82 and 87, Washington won.
Of course.
Washington won. No, that was about Joe Gibbs. That was a brilliant football coach. Absolutely, utterly brilliant. And good ownership, by the way, in Jack Kent Cook. And different ownership. The old owners were owners. They were not necessarily, unless you're Al Davis, they were not necessarily meddlers like they are today. The owners think that they know all, they know everything. Just own. Just own.
Just be rich.
Just be own. Anyway, Washington was really, really great for about 8 years. And the Bears, for maybe one less year, also great. And now, they're both bad.
Yeah.
They're both bad, and it's sad for the league that the Bears and Washington stink. And don't know how to run their own teams. You can be bad every once in a while if you're Washington. But you can't be this bad for this long.
Yeah.
So, essentially, it's not like they haven't made the playoffs. They both made the playoffs recently. But there's been nothing sustained in either franchise.
I feel bad for some of the fans that still live here because, you know, there's a lot of Washington old
huge.
School Redskins, you know, whatever, Commandos fans.
Huge.
So there's a lot of people who feel it here.
Friend of ours who works at NC State now, Jeff Gravely, is an enormous Washington fan. And, yeah, there's a ton of Washington. I have really good friends who live in Cary, Washington fans. Actually, his wife is a Patriots fan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but he's a Washington fan. He's always been. And they're embarrassing. I have a good friend of mine that has worked for around Washington. He was a TV guy in Washington. And I called him to see if he would talk about, not this particular thing today, but just the fact that the franchise is downtrodden. And he goes, I don't even want to think about them.
Uh-oh.
So.
It's that bad.
Yeah, because I also think that they have damaged their own stature within the community. They have done, I don't know if it's irreparable or not, but it is with Dan Snyder owning the team. And Tanya Snyder owning the team isn't any different than Dan Snyder owning the team. And we all know that. So they voted. Take a vote. If the vote is no, the vote is no. Take a vote, man. Who are you going to be embarrassed?
Right.
Come on.
Just do it.
Let's do it. All right, let's end Wall of Sound. We didn't do very much of a wall. It was more of a chain link fence of sound today.
That's okay. So, it's been a fun day.
Yeah, a split rail fence of sound today.